start it and see what happens. Good grief. Whew. Man. Ooh, $10 in my pocket. Look at that. Look at literally $10 in my pocket. How about
what?
That?
What? Amazing.
I didn't know I had $10 in my pocket. That's not
Aren't
bad.
You just a walk-in sing
hey, everybody.
Song?
That's right. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, making today make sense as best we can.
Oh, hello, friends. I do not know why the four-day week is the longest week that ever existed in the entire world, but it is. So I think we can agree that thank goodness for Economics on Tap. Happy Hour Friday. The live stream is up and running. I got to pull up the Discord on my other computer, which is I'm just going to type and talk for just a second. Thank you to everybody who's joining us, wherever you're finding us, whether you're listening later and thinking, dang it, I missed the live stream again. Or you're on the live stream right now and you're posting about your fancy drinks. A French 75 has appeared in the chat. We are delighted to hang out with you. And by the way, if you're just, you know, like if you're a tourist to the podcast, make it official. Subscribe. Leave us a review. We love to you know, mess with the algorithm.
Look, as much as we can. It's all about messing with the algorithm. We can do all this data, so let's please mess with the data. Speaking of which, I've got a news item about that. But yeah, you know, also have full FNT today, which is always fun. Although Drew Jostad apparently has a day off. Nobody checked with me. Which is good because I'm not in charge of anything, nor should I be. What are you drinking?
Tequila.
Okay. All right.
It's just
plain woman.
Sometimes I get these tweets and people are like, I could not do a straight bourbon or a tequila at 3:30 in the afternoon. And I'm like, really? But I don't have to pick up the child today. So I'm just having my little Friday tequila.
Well, if I had known that, yep. I'd had a heftier beer. I'm having my Wolf Pup Session IPA just because it's only 3:30 in the afternoon.
You thought it was going to be sober Friday. I'll keep you apprised on the pickup schedule.
Thank you.
Next week, yes. I don't have to. So next week can be
excellent. Good.
The high percentage. Okay. I'll be here with my. I was actually going to make a Batanga because I feel like Batanga goes with banana pants. It's like a whole theme, but I didn't have any limes.
And alliteration, too. Yeah. So Stone's got a new 12.5% ABV beer that I want to try. That could get interesting. Okay. Yep. But let's talk about that next week, not this week. The way it works on a Friday is we do the news, we do a little game show, and then we get out of your hair. This is so funny. Look at you. You are so funny. So I went in with three news items, and I was going to put a little note in there that said, they're not really all three. They're just very quick hits. I'll be out of the way in a hurry. Molly had one in, and then I come back 20 minutes later, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five.
It's only two stories.
Sure.
Five links for two stories. We should probably get to it, though.
I'm going to hit mine real quick. So my first very quick one is a news item out of Europe today related to monetary policy in the European Central Bank. We all know that the Federal Reserve and Jay Powell have been talking about tapering, which is to say slowing down its bond buying program and thus removing some of the support it's providing to the economy. Christine Lagarde, the head of the European Central Bank, announced today that it is going to start slowing down its buying of euro-denominated bonds, but Ms. Lagarde said, and this is a quote, the lady isn't tapering. Now, Christine Lagarde, I love. I've talked to her a couple of times.
She is so classy. What she said was,
the lady isn't tapering, right? That's what she said. She's French. She's lovely.
She's
I love her.
Awesome.
I just thought that was a great line. The lady isn't tapering. This is the woman who, when I asked, so I did an interview with her when she was running the IMF. And I asked her about Janet Yellen, and I was like, for you and Janet Yellen, for a long time, it was just the two of you at the top of the world's, most powerful female economist list. And Yellen had just stepped down from the, or not stepped down, been not reappointed to the Fed. And she said to me, and we have this on tape, she said, ooh, Janet, I love Janet. So anyway,
fantastic.
That's my little fanboy on Christine.
That's absolutely amazing.
Number
she also
two,
said, by the way, that inflation is temporary.
Yes.
I'm just saying that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, she and Powell are, I think, on the same page, as are many people. Most of them in Congress are a little skittish. Anyway, I just want to point out today a news item in the New York Times, speaking about misinformation and disinformation and how everybody's been after Facebook to supply data so that researchers can figure out what kind of damage has been done. The headline on the article today from the New York Times, Facebook sent flawed data to misinformation researchers. which might thus skew any report and studies and academic research that can be done on the influence of Facebook on misinformation. And all I can say to that really is classic. That's it. That's all I can say.
I mean, seriously, well said.
Yeah.
Cannot add a thing to that.
Just come on. Yeah. And item three, I guess these are all just really quick hit little items that struck me today. The Biden administration, President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping had a phone call last night, 90 minutes, which I think probably allowing for translation was like 30 minutes of content time, but whatever. Had what was, by all accounts, a really good and productive meeting. And then today in the Wall Street Journal and several other outlets comes news that the Biden administration, in addition to not having removed the trade war tariffs that the Trump administration put on, is thinking about more Section 301 tariffs, which is to say, So the whole China relationship is a little squirrely, and given the crackdowns over there on technology and some of the other industries, it's really good to be watching warily. Those are my news items.
That's so interesting because, the tariffs cost U.S. consumers money. We agree.
Yes, they do. Yes.
And then these tariffs are going to stay in place and maybe even be expanded at a time when U.S. consumers are paying more for goods because of supply chain issues.
Mostly. That is correct. And also
increasing
also at a
wages.
And $30 billion a month is coming out of the economy because much of the emergency pandemic relief has gone away. So, yes, you are correct in all of those things.
That is interesting decision making. It must suggest that people have no idea. They have no idea.
That's exactly right.
Right? We don't know why we're paying more. It could be anything. So might as well just keep the tariffs in there too. What are they doing to China? Like, what is the impact of the tariffs on China? Are they in fact effective enough that there is like a reason
keep them going? Well, near as we can tell, it really hasn't hurt the Chinese too much, right? Because it's the American consumer that is paying those tariffs, right? So the Chinese are grinding out those goods. I mean, there has been some supply chain relocation, right? And we saw this early on. We talked to a leather goods manufacturer who had to resource some of his stock to Vietnam and other South Asian countries. And China is losing a little bit there, but on the margins, really. It's not hurting them all that much at all. So
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right then. You know, politics is a complicated game.
Cray.
Big news today for nerds. There was finally a ruling. This is a big news actually today people who are interested in antitrust.
Sure.
Yeah. This is a big deal. So we've been waiting to see what the ruling was going to be in Epic versus Apple, which is, of course, the makers of Fortnite suing Apple and saying you are, you're behaving in an anti-competitive manner by not letting us take payment any other way than through you, and by taking a 30% cut of those payments, and by forcing users to go through your app store to get Fortnite and other apps. And so today there was this very interesting ruling. Judge Yvonne Gonzalez Rogers issued basically a permanent injunction in that case, and said that Apple does have to allow developers from including buttons and links and anything else that lets people buy stuff. So for example, the best known case of this is when you're in the Kindle app, right? And you look for a book and you want to buy it and you can't. And the reason you can't is because you're only allowed under Apple's rules to use Apple's purchasing system, and Apple takes a 30% cut of that. And so Amazon was like, no thanks. You have to go to the website to buy this. What's interesting about this ruling is that, and previously, Amazon wouldn't have been able to include a link to Amazon where you could go and buy it directly from them. So this ruling said, okay, you do have to let people click out or pay some other way. However, and I just thought this was so nuanced and clever, Epic lost, according to The Verge, on every other count. Apple does not have to let users load apps in ways other than the App Store. Apple doesn't have to put the Google Play Store on iOS, and it doesn't have to lower its fee below 30%. And so Epic is going to appeal and says, this is not a win. But I actually have to say that as a like a nuanced decision here, which is like, no, dude, you got to give people other ways to pay. In every other way, you are totally allowed to operate your business as you deem fit. I think it threaded the needle somewhat impressively.
And also, there was one of these sidebars of this ruling or whatever, was that Apple is not a monopoly, right? And so Apple's communications team today is jumping up and down on the whole, we're not a monopoly, right? And so,
right.
You know, they're taking some glee in that.
Totally true. They're not.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. At all. Yeah.
Yep.
So that was an interesting ruling and a big day, and Epic is still definitely not happy. And then my second story is I was made smart today. So, you know, most of my career, I have been some version of a tech reporter, a tech and business reporter. Mm-hmm. And so there are things. Also, I'm a human. So sometimes there are things that I find out for the first time because I'm not, in fact, like a quantum computer. And a thing that I found out today, I was reading, because I'm very interested in this topic, the story about how some lawmakers see a chance for climate action in this $3.5 trillion bill. The infrastructure bill that's being negotiated, and it's a really could be a big moment for the United States to like make good on the idea that we're going to lead on this question of climate change. And then as I'm reading the story in the New York Times, it's like, and as usual, it all comes down to Joe Manchin and whether he wants to do it or not, Democrat of West Virginia. So I know that Democrat of West Virginia, Joe Manchin, is from a coal rich state. I know that he was like at an oil and gas fundraiser. I know that he has opposed things that move people off of fossil fuel in the past. And I know that economics is a big part of politics. What I didn't know is that you can have own stock valued at between $1 million and $5 million in a coal brokerage, and that you can make $491,949 in dividends from that stock in coal, and that you can still be the chairman of the Senate Energy Committee.
Yep.
I didn't know that there were, like, we're not allowed to expense a beer at the end of, like, a reporting trip. Right? Let alone all the things that like journalists or teachers or various people under various ethics policies are allowed to do. But you can literally own a bunch of stock in coal and then set energy policy at the highest level, because we know that bills are crafted in committees. Most people on the most like rank and file senators and members of the House don't have anything to do with crafting legislation. Like, it goes into a committee, it gets written, and it comes out. And you could be the chair of that and have as much as $5 million in coal stock. And I will tell you, listener, I was in fact pretty shocked. I was surprised to discover that. I did not know.
That is so interesting that you were shocked. I was not shocked. Maybe I'm more cynical. Here's the central bank corollary to that.
You know.
Well, you should. We should all be appalled. We should all
be appalled. Pretty shocked.
I don't think it's a partisan political statement to say that our elected representatives ought not be able to trade stocks actively while they're in office. Full stop. Here's the central bank corollary to that. I know. Hold on the banana pants, please. We'll get there in a minute. Here's the central bank corollary. Robert Kaplan, who we've had on Marketplace a number of times, filed his disclosure documents this week, and it was either the Journal or ProPublica went through them. Robert Kaplan, who although not a voting member, does help set monetary policy for the United States, and more particularly is consulted on some of the economic bailout issues that have happened in the last 18 months in this economy, made 22 transactions in stocks and corporate securities. 22 transactions worth more than $1 million apiece.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And both he and Eric Rosengren, the head of the Boston Fed, came out today and said, we've done these transactions. They were completely in line with Federal Reserve ethics policy, which is true, but we're not going to do them anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And there were also a bunch of like ethics exemptions in the Biden administration, including for Janet Yellen. So it was like, you can still like sit on boards of banks and things like that. Yeah. I mean, there's like really, really, really a lot of it. And I sort of like, again, I sort of vaguely knew that. It's just that one-to-one connection that you can literally like be enriching yourself on this industry and also crafting all the policy around it so directly that I did find somewhat surprising. And then a bunch of people tweeted me about the Stock Act. the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act that was apparently signed into law to much fanfare by President Barack Obama in 2012, a president who I think we can all agree didn't come down too hard on the financial industry, because then it sounds like it was pretty promptly like watered down significantly.
It was totally watered down.
By a Republican Congress.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be clear. But again, like not a lot of tough stuff happened there with financing.
No, but look, I mean, so look though. I mean, Obama didn't refi his house because he was afraid it would appear to have been undue influence, right? Jimmy Carter had to give up his farm and put it in a blind trust. You know, so some do what they're supposed to do, others don't, up to and including the last occupant of the White House, it has to be pointed out. So, you know.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's a let's just say it's a wide-ranging issue. And and we should really probably deal with it as a country, because the idea that, like, for example, whether or not the United States moves on climate change is so directly and inextricably tied to one person and his personal financial investment, it should be pretty troubling, actually. That shouldn't actually be like paragraph 17 in a story.
Yeah.
That's kind of that seems like a pretty big deal. I know I'm like a child over here, but like, whoa!
No.
Anyway.
Okay.
That's what I got.
So
that's
let us now return you to our regularly scheduled Banana Pants programming, which is this. The swag. Schwag or swag?
I say swag. Swag is like your style.
Okay, swag.
But swag is your stuff.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. Schwag. Mm-hmm. The schwag for our fundraiser this next 5 days or whatever is literally a pair of banana pants. And perhaps those of you who follow Molly on Twitter have seen her in her banana pants. Those of you who follow Marketplace on Twitter will see me in mine. I will not, however, tweet them out. But if you go to marketplace.org,
I'm doing a banana pants dance on the video.
There
right
you
now.
Go. She's been wearing them all day. In fact, there was a picture of her late last night in those things. So maybe she actually slept in them. I don't even know.
They're getting pretty dirty.
She's like dancing. What is that?
Can't take them off. Love
anyway.
Them.
Anyway, so marketplace.org/givesmart. It is the time of year. I think there are two of them, although it feels, for those of us on the pointy end of the microphone, like more. $10 a month gets you the banana pants. It is our most popular gift this drive by far. Other gifts at other dollar amounts. You can check them out at marketplace.org/givesmart. Fundamentally, we need your help. That's the only way this program gets done. Full stop.
We really do. And we're really, really lucky to work in publicly funded media. It is a true blessing, and it's a direct connection to our audience. And hopefully it makes you trust us more, because you know what our incentives are. They're you. And we are super, super grateful for your support. Marketplace.org/givesmart. Already with banana pants on the way are Nancy from Magnolia, Texas, Evan from Ann Arbor, Michigan, Lisa in Auburn, Maine, Davis in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rob from Portland, Oregon. We're at $44,000 of our pretty big goal, $250,000 by like what, next Friday? So get after it, folks. Get
it's a big
after
nut.
It. Because this,
this
is all about me in the pants. I need you.
It's all
I gotta
about
look
Molly
good here.
Pants. That's exactly right.
It's the
That's
pants.
Exactly right. No pressure. No pressure.
It's all
Molly's
about
future
us in
the marketplace depends
us.
On these pants.
I will be out of here.
Help us out. Help us out.
That's not true. All right. We're already over 15 minutes. And we haven't even started our game. Let's do it.
We're going.
It's time for Half Full, Half Empty, where we give you our predictions on various topics. I'm laughing because Michael in the Discord just said, I send the money, but I do not wear the pants.
I saw that.
Which made me laugh. Liana Squilacci is our host for today. What do you got for us, Liana?
Think about the staff photo we could take if everybody was wearing the banana pants.
Yes.
God, I just wanted to put that out there.
For our first in-person gathering.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anywho.
Are you half full or half empty on Americans retiring earlier?
Oh. You know what is a bona fide thing? Is that the FIRE movement, the financial independence retire early movement.
Wow.
You should be doing a story about this. This is a big deal. It's people who are trying to save as much as 70% of their income so that they can retire early. It's like a pretty extreme. It's like the intermittent fasting of making money.
I was just going to say, it's like the hyper low calorie diet. Do you live in a tent for 5 years?
I don't really know. But then the idea is like, boom, you retire at, 50 and you go and do your thing. I think there's a lot more interest in it. I don't know that Americans make enough to retire early, like across the board. I'm half empty on that. But it is a movement.
Yeah. I think if you can retire, you ought to. So I'm half full-ish, I suppose.
I mean, I'm half full on wanting to, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Except I just look at Twitter all day. Anyway, what do we got?
Are you half full or half empty on Facebook's Ray-Ban glasses?
Here's the thing about this story. So they came out with these, you remember Google glasses from a number of years ago, the Snapchat glasses from a number of years ago. Here now, Facebook. But the catch for this thing is you have to get a Facebook account. And I'm like, no. Also, I don't want people walking around with cameras on their glasses. So empty.
Definitely. Like, we were skeptical when Snapchat wanted to put spectacles on everybody's face that could take your picture, but at least they were bright yellow and a light came on when they were taking your photo. It was not subtle. I'm certainly half empty on Facebook, like demanding that I sign up so that it can let me invade other people's privacy all around the world.
Totally.
No, thank you.
Pass. Yep.
Okay. Half full or half empty on the Toyota battery investment?
I don't know what that is.
I know, me too.
I can give you some info.
Okay, thanks.
please. So apparently, Toyota will invest around $13.6 billion into battery tech over the next decade, including a $9 billion investment in production as it attempts to electrify its vehicle lineup.
Well, you have to be half full on that, right? I mean, batteries and... You're doing a thing on this in your special project, right? Your secret thing, right? Batteries are the name of the game. We got to figure out batteries. Pour the billions in there. Half full.
Total market mover, yeah. And I think it's really interesting, too, that a big chunk of this money is in battery technology, such as solid-state batteries and other types of battery technology that can be smaller and last longer and maybe use fewer rare earth minerals. And it's a whole... Yeah, I mean, this is exactly the kind of investment that it's going to take, not just for cars, for like everything else.
Yeah.
All the way full.
Okay.
Super full. This one, who knows? It's going to be interesting. SpaceX Inspiration 4 all-civilian spaceflight.
I'm not full.
All civilian?
It says all civilian.
That's okay.
Maybe the pilot is also
Neil Armstrong was a civilian. Neil Armstrong was a civilian.
Okay.
Half full.
Let me see. Who are they? I got to look them up. Introduced the all-civilian crew. Yeah, totally. I'm half full on this.
Nothing on Let's Light This Candle? No history buffs among you?
I got it.
That's what Alan Shepard said.
I was busy ducking.
Oh, jeez. All right.
It was a slow burn. Get it? Like candle?
I got it. You're so fun.
We're half full and filled with regret. What's next?
Speaking of things that burn, Taco Bell sauce packet recycling, half full or half empty?
Oh, I'm half full. So I did this yesterday on the show. There are 8 billion of those little sauce packets, right? Whether it's ketchup or hot sauce or whatever, floating around in this economy from fast food drive-thrus. And Taco Bell is, 8 billion of them, which totally makes sense, right? I mean, you go out for like Chinese or whatever, you go to a Taco Bell drive-thru, you get a bunch of soy sauce packets or hot sauce packets, whatever, 8 billion. Mm-hmm. Taco Bell's launching a program where you collect all your empties and you save them up for a while, right, to make it worthwhile. And then you mail them back and they'll recycle them. I think that I'm half full.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but considering what we recently discussed vis-a-vis recycling, I think I'm a little half empty on this because, one, it's not going to – nobody's going to do it. Just stop giving sauce. Like, people have sauce at home. Buy some bulk Costco sauce.
That's a better point.
Like, if Apple can take all those little wall warts, which I actually do sometimes need, out of the box, you know, the part that plugs into the wall, they only include the cable because they were like, we've got enough of these and it's not – it's not environmentally friendly to continue to do that. Like, maybe just ixnay on the osse. We just don't need it.
Wow. That's fair. I'll buy that.
I know you didn't see that one coming, but because I should be pro-recycling, but I'm half empty.
It's okay. I get it.
Fair That's enough. Greenwashing, Taco Bell.
That's it. Kind of is. Kind of is. All right. What else we got? Was that four or five?
Is that it?
That's it.
All right.
Oh, thanks, Liana.
Hit that button. There we go.
She's such a nice voice.
Thanks, Liana. Awesome. She does, doesn't she? She's got a voice for radio.
Yep.
She totally does.
She sings.
except for that. That was a little creepy. Except for
the dork laugh, which is a no-go.
All right, I'm turning myself off.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, we're done. So next Tuesday, we're doing Occupy Wall Street, which, if you can believe it, was 10 years ago, it's kind of cray-cray. So anyway, we're doing that.
Did not see that coming. Don't forget about that link, marketplace.org/givesmart, if you're just hanging out over the weekend thinking, where can I stash some cash? If you also are thinking about us on the weekend and you want to send us a question or a comment or an answer to the Make Me Smart question, tax-deductible cash, by the way, just saying. It's like the good kind. Send us a voice memo or an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can call us. Our number is 508-827-6278. 508-UB-SMART.
Boom.
I feel like I might have just suggested another Friday in the books. Money through Marketplace, which is not what I meant.
They'll figure it out. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, Market Green Shadows, just to learn the ropes. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner, who decided to shake up the credits today, by the by.
I'm loving it. The team behind the YouTube live stream and our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Stephen Beyond, Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, and Mel Rosenberg. That's right, people. Takes a village. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by Drew Jostad, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitar Niepce.
There we go.
Doesn't just happen, folks.
On the YouTube chat says, Taco Bell was my first job, still traumatized.
Yeah.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.